Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ this morning with the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, "Grace be unto you, peace from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Hearty welcome to each one who has come this morning, a time when God's people gather together to worship Him, to meditate on His Word, and to help us understand by the power of the Spirit what God wants to see of His church. May this time that we are gathered this morning, be a time of growing, understanding what God requires of us as His children. I want to say welcome to those who have tuned online, and we just pray that the Spirit of God is going to make a change in our hearts, piece by piece. And pray that His Spirit will have free course this morning as we look into His Word and what it has to say to us. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, this morning as we have gathered here, You look down upon us. You see us. You see our hearts. You know what's in our thoughts. And Lord, we know that we are transparent in Your eyes, and there is nothing that we can hide. And Father, this morning we just come to You and with grace in our hearts, thanking You, Lord, for this opportunity. And pray, Lord, that You will just help us to move forward in our faith, our journey of faith that we are on, desiring to become more Christ-like, to help us understand what the Church of Jesus Christ in this time that we live in might look like, how it would demonstrate the love of God. Father, we pray that Your Spirit would lead and guide us this morning, and also as the worship team leads us in singing, may our hearts just prepare ourselves to receive what You have in store for us this morning. Father, we thank You. We bless You in the name of Jesus. Amen.
In the blue hymnal, number 166, The Love of God. And I invite you to stand.
Thank you.
1998, channels only.
Thank you.
Thank you for that hearty singing. You know, as we sang this song, I trust it has penetrated our heart. It says, when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. That is such a beautiful consolation that we as believers can take with us in our journey of faith. And I trust it speaks to us this morning as we think about what he bled for, what he died for, and that it was for you and for me. It was for the church, not only the church, but for the whole world. But it is the church that experiences what that means and how that gift sets us free. And that is my prayer for each one this morning as we enter into this time of worship. And I want to begin with a few words in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We know that Matthew, tax collector, he preached two primary messages. And one was repentance, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when we study the scriptures, we find that it was only Matthew more so that preached about the kingdom of heaven. The other gospels talk about the kingdom of God. And so does the Apostle Paul relates to the kingdom of God. And we sometimes ask ourselves, so what is the difference? What is the difference between the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God? We realize that Matthew was preaching or bringing a message of salvation that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And it goes back into Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21, where I believe that Matthew alluded to when it says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21, that your days may be filled, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. When Matthew preached the word of God and he talked about the kingdom of heaven, there was reason for him to do that, because he was preaching to a group of Jewish people. He was preaching to those who had come out of a religious system where they needed to bring their sacrifices to God in order to be accepted. But what we understand is because there were a lot of those people who were religious and they were worshiping their idols, which were their gods, Matthew kind of maybe simmered down that term a little bit, and he talked about the kingdom of heaven, because for them to hear Matthew speak about the kingdom of God was somewhat of a violation to what they felt was the right thing to do. And so Matthew, the first book of the Gospels, he introduces the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we think about that and we say, well, that was not such a big step as if he would have spoken about the kingdom of God. But in the meantime, as we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they come through with the kingdom of God already. And so there was a time of introduction when Matthew preached to them, preached to the Jewish people who had come out of the old system, and here Jesus would set up his kingdom, a kingdom that was not of this world, but a heavenly kingdom. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so when we think about that, we think about today, the church in a whole, that message hasn't changed, because there are many people out there that have not received that gift that is extended to them, that Christ came, as we sang in that song. It's so hard to take in that Christ would die for a world of sinners, but he did. And that's a beautiful thing. That's what gives us hope, doesn't it? That's what brings joy to our lives. But repentance that he's talking about means a change of mind, a change of heart, and that results in a change of conduct as how we present ourselves, how we perceive what the gospel is teaching us. And it changes the attitude toward our God who has created us and what sin does. And so that was the message that he's preaching. And when we think about that conversion that needs to take place, it's a change of my will, my mind, and my emotions. So it changes our soul. But we must realize that such repentance doesn't arise within a man himself, but is the result of God's mercy, his grace, and leading a person to it. John's message of repentance was necessary in order to prepare people for the kingdom of heaven, which was at hand. And Matthew speaks in this way, and we find that Matthew in the book, in his whole book, alludes more to the Old Testament sayings that spoke of the prophecy of Jesus Christ. And he's talking about the church. He's talking about the people that have been redeemed. And when we turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Jesus explains what that means, the kingdom of heaven, but here he uses the kingdom of God. Verse 20, it says in chapter 17 of the Gospel of Luke, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. What he's saying is the kingdom of God is not something that is that you're going to see. That's coming. See, the Pharisees were still thinking that would happen yet. But he says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And then he goes on in verse 22, and he says, and he said unto the disciples, first he's talking to the Pharisees, giving them an illustration of what the kingdom of God looked like, or what it should be. And then he's talking to his disciples, and then he says, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say unto you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. And then he explains what that's going to be like when Jesus Christ will come. And he says, for as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man in his day. He says that shineth out from under one part of heaven. There is a place where Jesus will come down from earth, from heaven to earth, as we find written in the book of Acts chapter 1. As he ascended to heaven, likewise he will come down. And it says in one part under heaven and over all the earth. In reference to his coming, in reference to receiving the church, the redeemed. And he helps them to understand that the kingdom of heaven is not something that is going to come and they're going to come and see it come, but it comes like the lightning. And we know, we have a fairly good idea what lightning does. And it's so quick and so fast. Jesus points them to some, gives them some pointed direction as to what the church should look like. And he also warns his disciples of these false teachings that would arise. And Christ knew what would happen. And so when we think about that, as a body of believers, as a body of brothers and sisters in the Lord, it is important that we discern the times that we are in. And as I study God's word, I find it more and more so that it is only when we live within the kingdom that we understand what this means, and that it has nothing to do with the things that we see or the things that we work with. But it should have something to do with how we present ourselves, how we conduct ourselves. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul speaks to this as well. And he says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." It is not meat and drink. It is not the material things that we need to live off of. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy. And we know that there are many things that can rob us off of that. And when we allow ourselves to be integrated into the world system, we are being robbed of many of these things. We are being robbed of peace and joy, of the being robbed of the righteousness. And so we need to understand that it is important for us to walk after God's ways, to be part of the kingdom, to help us to understand how we are to conduct ourselves. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I don't know where you're at this morning, but it's something that I need to discipline myself every day, because there are so many things that can rob us of that peace. You know, when we think about the days that we are living in, many people live in fear of what the future will bring. And it is important that we are concerned, but we need to understand that God gave His Son Jesus authority, and that authority remains today. And Paul says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." I trust this morning that we have peace in our hearts. That all the things that are happening around us doesn't throw us off course, because it can happen. But sometimes, even we as believers come to the point where possibly we are at odds with one another. then we need to ask ourselves, so how does the peace of God rule? Who's in control of my thoughts? Who's in control of my emotions or my will? I want to just step ahead one verse, and it says, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So do I have room that the word of Christ can dwell in me richly? You know what is interesting when we think about that? That sometimes we harbor things in our hearts that kind of push out the word of God. And Paul is concerned about this because he's talking pertaining to the church. And he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Understanding what our calling is as believers in Jesus Christ. Understanding what God would see us represent in this time that we are here, that he has allotted for each one of us. But it is interesting how we, and I'm included in all of this, I'm not innocent, or I should say I'm innocent within all of this as well. But sometimes our old nature kind of raises its head, and we allow our thoughts to go somewhere where we actually don't want them to go, where God's word tells us not to allow them to go. You know, it's interesting that I don't know about you, but sometimes my old nature knows exactly what the other person should be doing or what the other person should not be doing. That's my old nature. And it's still there. And it's something that we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, must control. We know exactly the failures of the other person. And probably when you look at me, you could tell me what I should do, how I should live my life. You know, what Paul is bringing about is when we allow the word of God to live in us richly, that pushes out that old nature. It doesn't eradicate it. It doesn't take it away so it's not there anymore, but it puts it under control. And as a church of Jesus Christ in today's society, that's what we need to do. Not point at other people's shortcomings, but the Bible tells us, and in this verse it says, admonishing one another, teaching and admonishing one another. You know, sometimes we say, infiltum vocalire. You know, rightfully so. I need to be taught. I don't stand here before you with all the answers for life. I don't. But we need to admonish one another. And Scripture tells us to do it in love. And when we do that in love, it's controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's not the old nature that does that, because the old nature would throw an arrow and do more damage than good. But it's the new nature in Jesus Christ. And when in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, put on therefore as an elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Long-suffering. In other words, patient. Having patience with one another. You know, what does the world see when they observe the Church of Jesus Christ? You know, and when there's fighting going on inside and people throwing darts at each other, or we might say mudslinging, the unity of the Spirit isn't there anymore, and the blessings, we're robbed of the blessings that we can have. And even though you may not appreciate what I do or what I say, I want to challenge you. It's up to you to come and tell me that where I've come short. I want you to do that. And I want to receive that. And so it should be with each one of us when we think about what does the kingdom of God look like in today's world? Verse 13, it says in Colossians chapter 3, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Oh, what an essential thing that must happen for the church to be strong, for the kingdom of God to be efficient, to do what it's meant to do, what Christ came to do, because we know that he forgave us. He took my sin and your sin, took him to the cross. And as we sang this morning, it's so hard to understand what God's love is all about. And then it says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I want to say that this morning, friends. If we're going to follow through on that precept, we're going to be walking out of this door not having a grudge or have anything negative to say about other people. But it is interesting when we allow that old nature to take control. We find fault in everything, don't we? We find fault in our marriage partners. But the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers that. And that is the love of God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, Paul says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. We are in the kingdom of God here on earth. Verse 14, it says, and above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Then in verse 16, it says, or verse 15, it says, the latter part of that verse, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Are we thankful? We've been called as a body of believers to be thankful. I think it is of great importance when we think of being thankful that we have brothers and sisters in the Lord that we can admonish us one with the other. And do it in love. It says in verse 16, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I trust that's what happened this morning as we began our service. Singing with grace in our hearts. When we have grace in our hearts, it will show. It will show that we are truly thankful. Encouraging us with songs, spiritual songs. And he says, and whatever you do in the what and whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Sometimes we just need to be still and listen to what God speaks to our hearts. God's word. It is of utmost importance that we meditate on that word. See, Moses had a word from the Lord when he was in the wilderness. And he had fellowship with him. He was dealing with a rebellious group of people, the Israelites. God had told him to bring them out of Egypt, and he did. But boy, did he face a lot of grumbling and disheartened people. But he had a word from the Lord. Noah had a word from the Lord, and he built an ark. He faced a lot of ridicule. Abraham, when God called him to go out, he had a word from the Lord, and he was obedient. And so we see that it is important that we, in spirit, just allow the Lord to speak to us. Just in the quietness of our heart, meditate on God's word, and it'll change us. In Psalm 119, Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word enlightens our path. And we know how important it is to have light when we walk. Because when it's dark, we stumble, we fall. And it says, it's a light unto my path. In Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The law of the Lord is perfect to the converting of the soul. That's what Christ came to do. In Matthew, he preached and he said repentance. Repentance means to turn around, to make a total turnaround, to stop and take a look at our own lives, turn back to God. David himself, he experienced that when he had sinned with Bathsheba. He knew he had fallen. He was in fellowship with God. And he came and he saw his condition. And he pleaded with God and he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Friends, possibly one of us this morning find ourselves in a situation like that where we just need to call out and say, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of salvation." Because Paul talks about that joy. He says in Romans 14, verse 17, I want to close with this verse. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, not the material things that keep us alive physically, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." That's my prayer for each one of us this morning. Let us just unite in a word of prayer. Father, this morning as we come to the close of this service, thank you, Lord, for the instructions that you give us. And we realize, Lord, that even though we are part of your kingdom here on earth, we find ourselves coming short of that. You tell us that we are to live righteously, that we are to have joy in our hearts, that we are to allow the peace of God to rule our hearts, and that the word of God would richly dwell in our hearts. And Lord, we must admit, sometimes we fall short of that level that you call us in. We seek, Lord, forgiveness. We pray, Lord, that from here on, we may be better witnesses in the kingdom of God. Lord, we know that as a church, we are a minority in this world. But we also know, Lord, that there are people that are observing what the kingdom looks like. And possibly, Lord, when they see people being at odds with each other, fighting about material things, throwing things at other, gossip, or we might say even mudsling, what do they see? Lord, we pray that our actions, our testimony, our conversations may be godly, that it can build the kingdom, that can build the church as we anticipate your return, when you will come and receive the bride to yourself. Father, we pray for your Spirit's leading. We pray for your word that will shine upon our path as a lamp. Give us insight so that we walk worthily of the calling wherewith you have called us. Father, we thank you for your word. It encourages us. It brings us hope as we prepare to meet you. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon this congregation as they go from here. Father, may their light shine in the far darkness, that there may be a glimmer of hope to those who observe, to those who stand at a distance and take note of what's going on. Lord, this morning, as we have been reminded of your faithfulness, your mercy, and your grace, help us, Lord, to live accordingly, and that your word would not have fallen on stony ground, but that we in our hearts would receive it with grace and allow it to have its full course. Thank you, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to give each one the opportunity to go on bended knee. Let's come before Almighty God and just acknowledge where we have come short. I don't know about you, but I realize how often I have failed my Creator, God. Anything else that you have in your heart this morning, let's just kneel in silent word of prayer. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Good morning. Just want to remind you again, it is in your bulletin, but there will be a event for all men, and it will start this coming Friday, February the 4th, at 7:30 in the evening, and it is about the Conquer series. So whoever is interested, you can contact Willie Hebert and then show up on Friday the 4th. It will be switched between Stanback and New Bothwell. So, but this coming Friday it will be here in New Bothwell. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Thanks, Deacon Jake. Come to the close of the service this morning. I want to heartily thank you all for coming. Let us close with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord be merciful unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen. You may now go in peace with the Lord.